right, here we go. This year's MLB. This year, MLB told players that they had a new cleat policy where they're allowing players to put whatever they want on their cleats, and as long as it isn't offensive or political. Trevor Bauer of the Indians has put this to the test. Like me, he believes that Joe Kelly should not have been suspended for his incident with the Houston Astros. Bauer has created a pair of cleats. One shoe has Joe Kelly's pouty face on it. Everybody knows what that looks like.
Yes, sir.
The other cleat says "Free Joe Kelly." Baseball has informed Bauer that if he ever wears the shoes, he will immediately be ejected from a game. Should Trevor Bauer be allowed to wear his "Free Joe Kelly" shoes?
Oh dear God, Rob Manfred, when are you going to get it? I mean, I almost feel like we got to lock Rob Manfred in a room with Vince McMahon and have Vince McMahon explain to Rob
what show business is.
Exactly. Baseball is, if you look at all the knocks on baseball, you and Lindsay are both huge baseball fans.
Yep.
I'm a casual baseball fan. Anything that gets me interested is good. I would tune in to see Trevor Bauer's cleats if he wore those cleats.
Yep.
And it's not political and it's not offensive. And you've already handed down a punishment for Joe Kelly. And Trevor Bauer is great for the game. Why, Mace? Explain to me why your fearless leader, Rob Manfred, doesn't understand show business 101 here. He's making a huge mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like these unwritten rules. They've got such great young faces in baseball right now. Let her rip is what I say. We actually have Trevor Bauer and what he said about this. Go ahead and hit that, Jorge.
So they threatened to eject me from the game and suspend me if I wore them. So that was the deal. I don't think they have grounds to do that. It certainly would be completely unprecedented for, I guess, what would be considered a uniform violation by them, even though it's not really a violation given the rules this year. But I just didn't want to put my teammates in a situation like that.
And by the way, Bauer went out and threw a one-hitter.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And Bauer is a Southern California guy. He went to UCLA. If you've ever seen him get interviewed, he doesn't care what you think. He's going to speak his mind. I think he's great for the game. Lindsay, are you
Bowers.
Right, Lindsay? Are you disappointed the Indians gave up on him?
Yeah, but after dealing, like seeing firsthand, like what the PR staff, I guess, had to deal with, I guess I kind of understand why.
He got traded right after he got taken out of a game, and he threw the ball from the mound over the right field wall. Correct?
Yeah, and I don't think that him and Tito saw eye to eye.
Well, you could see Francona come out of the dugout, and he looks at him and goes, "What the F are you doing?"
Yeah.
And Bauer, like, apologizes to Francona, goes, "I'm just mad you're taking me out."
The other thing about moving on from, if you have got a rotation that includes guys like Shane Bieber and Carlos Carrasco and who's the guy, Zach Plesac, that just got sent down, and Mike Clevenger, you can afford to deal from strength, which is what the Cleveland Indians did. They've got a great rotation.
But we all agree that Manfred messed up by talking him out of the cleats, right?
100%.
Lindsay, do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Rob Manfred, Trevor Bauer is the perfect Rob Manfred foil. Like,
yep.
He's like, I want to see them in a wrestling match together. That'd be great.
Yeah, cage match.
All right, George? Mace, the LA Times reported yesterday that there have been 81 positive cases of COVID-19 reported among workers at SoFi Stadium.
Mm.
None of the victims have been hospitalized or have died. The Rams opener you have said you will attend, if fans are allowed, is less than a month away. Today is August 20th. That game is scheduled for September 13th.
3 weeks.
Does this story affect your decision as to whether or not you'll attend Rams-Cowboys if they allow fans?
Okay, so I've said this over and over again. John, if the moment is big enough, if it's a big enough deal, like,
so you
for
don't
example,
care about the 81 positive COVID cases.
Correct. I'm going to take my chances in my N95 mask. I'm going to wear it the entire time I'm there. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. I'm just there to watch a football game. But if I have a chance to go in and to be part of whatever that is, 20,000 people or 15,000 people or whatever that is, I will go because it's such a cool, big deal. It'll be surreal to be in there. It's sad, I think, that there's a brand new $6 billion stadium opening and nobody can go to it this year. It's a huge disappointment. But I think the signs are bad. In fact, the Rams have just started selling cutouts in the end zones for both end zones.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't that kind of a giveaway if they've started selling cutouts that actual fans probably aren't getting in?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's an incredibly bad sign. If you start selling cutouts, it means probably people aren't going to get into the game. So I would imagine I'm going to be sitting right here watching Rams-Cowboys when they play on September the 13th, which is disappointing.
Jorge, does that story 81 positive COVID cases at SoFi scare you off at all?
It does. I wouldn't. Look, it's going to take a vaccine and maybe a year for me to go to a stadium, to be honest with you.
Lindsay, how about you?
Yeah, I think that's still I don't think I'm ready for that jump yet.
Yeah, I may sign with you. I would go. I'd wear a mask and make sure I took hand sanitizer and roll the dice.
Yeah.
George?
New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick isn't ruling anything out while figuring out his quarterback depth chart, including the possibility of a platoon involving Cam Newton. Asked Wednesday morning before practice if it might be a benefit to pair two signal callers with varied skills, Belichick said, I might. I always say I'll do what I think is best for the team, what gives us the best chance to win. Whatever that is, I would definitely consider it. Now, the Patriots have got Cam. They've got 2019 fourth-round pick Jared Stidham and veteran Brian Hoyer. Do you believe that Bill Belichick is serious about a quarterback platoon, and do platoons at quarterback work?
They never work. Give me the example of when it really has ever worked.
It works in college. It's worked in college.
At Florida, Urban Meyer did it 1 year with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow and won a national championship, but I've never seen it work in the NFL. Matter of fact, Mace, I smell a mythical money opportunity here. You believe that Jared Stidham
will start game one.
And I believe Cam Newton will start game one. Let's bet $2,000 in mythical money on it. If Newton starts, I win. If Stidham starts, you win. And if one of them gets hurt, the bet gets canceled.
And if they both play, the bet gets canceled.
Fair enough.
All right, I'm in. I'm in. Go, Jared Stidham.
$2,000 each?
Well, two grand. It's just a straight $2,000 bet. Lindsay, who's going to win that bet?
I'm going to go with you, John. Sorry, Mace.
Yeah, you're underrating the talent of Cam
Newton. Nobody believes me on this. I have got the ultimate minority view on this. I don't know anybody else that is actually making this.
You just put your money where your mouth is, so good for you.
It's me and Scott Zolak. We're the only people that believe that Jared Stidham is going to start game one for the Patriots.
George?
You're asking me? I'm with you, John.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's Cam Newton.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Mace, a few months ago, Lindsay asked us if either one of us would consider participating in the website Cameo. Where people would pay us to do short video messages for them.
Yes.
We would set the price, and we could do as many or as few as we wanted. Cameo tried to recruit me to join last year at Clay Thompson's golf tournament, and I passed. Part of their pitch is that you can increase your brand and your fame on Cameo. Now, I don't want to do it because I don't want to charge people money for something I would probably do for free. But I figured you would want to do it because you're openly desperate to be famous. I think you might sign up after reading a Washington Post story this week about Cameo. People are cashing in, and the best example is Carol Baskin from Tiger King.
Here's what
Baskin told the Post. Quote, I started at $59 per video, but I had to keep raising the price because I was inundated with over 100 requests right away. Eventually, I settled in at $299, and that seems to keep the flow at about 30 a day. I can handle 30 a day. End quote. That means Baskin is bringing in close to $9,000 a day.
$9,000 a day?
After Cameo takes their 25% cut, she takes home almost $6,800 daily. If she does this 30 a day, every day for a month, she makes over $200,000 for that month alone.
Wow.
Does this story make you want to sign up for Cameo?
You know, we just did somebody's birthday party on Zoom, right?
Well, we did it to be good guys.
We did it to be good guys.
Now you can be paid to be a good guy.
Yeah, I don't think I would do Cameo. I'm not.
Come on, man. She charges $2.99. You could charge $50. You'd make a fortune.
It's true. $50. But you think I would make a fortune?
Heck yeah. And
more
you
donuts,
do,
please.
You could
more
do
donuts.
As, you could do
I was just
going to
say that's
as
like
many
three
as
dozen
you
donuts,
want.
Right?
Yeah.
Mace, think about it. If you just had four people a day, if you did four a day, you'd make $200 a day. Cameo gets 50. You pocket 150 a day. You love money. You love fame. What does not reek Steve Mason about Cameo?
Yeah, you're right. I will. I'll go on Cameo.
There you go. I put in putting a little extra money in your pocket
I'll,
right
I'll
there.
I'll make a little side change, little side hustle on the Cameo.
There you go. You can sign
all,
up today.
Cameo.com. By the way, you know I've done John, I always tell people, and you and I tell people that the best way to get started in this business right now is to start a podcast.
Right.
Because you can just, there's no barrier to entry. You can just start doing a podcast, putting it out there. You got something to show a potential employer, something to play for them. It's a really good idea. So what I've been doing is, if you've got a podcast right now that you're getting started, or you've got an established one, I've been doing a bunch of guesting on those. So if you're interested,
did you do the Australia one?
I did. I did Big Sports Australia Breakfast yesterday.
Excellent.
Which was fantastic. They know a lot about the NBA.
Good.
They know a lot about the NFL. I was really surprised. But if you've got a podcast and you want me to show up on it, you can go to stevemason.com and click on the contact page. And I'm trying to do a bunch of those and helping guys out who are starting podcasts, and I've done some really fun ones. All right, that is it for the scoop. Coming up next, by the way, bottom of the hour, 2:30, Anthony Slater is going to join us from The Athletic. Coming up next for you, we will again dig into Game 2 of the Lakers' first-round playoff series.
Victory on the horizon!
The Blazers, what do they need to do tonight? We'll talk about that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And let me tell you something. Now that we are in our official time slot, every day from 1 to 4, you will have to drag me out of this job. This is the best time slot in the world. I could not be more excited about this. Nothing from you?
What? No. Well, I was watching this game, and I just put my headphones back in.
Oh, okay.
What are you most? What are you excited about?
This new time slot is fantastic, man.
Well, I never wanted to leave it in the first place.
Me either. I told them this Will Cain thing wasn't going
to
work.
Yeah, they never listened to us.
All right. By the way, Reds broadcaster Tom Brenneman caught on an open mic using a gay slur. Should he be fired? The poll is online, John. How do you think it's going? 700 votes.
Most people want to see other people suffer. I'll say 70% want him out.
70% want him out. Exactly right. Yeah. 30% say no, he should not be fired. 70% say yes.
Wait,
he
I
should.
Hit it on the number? I should go on The Price is Right.
It's on exactly so. You win both showcases.
Yeah, no
yes,
kidding.
Yes, you do. Don't forget, you can win a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from OC Mazda. Pay attention to everything we're saying. Something we say between now and 4 o'clock is going to be on the pop quiz Friday at 3:15. You got to be able to answer a question for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you win on Friday, you get one of four keys that could start the brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30. Yeah, it's an unbelievable deal.
Yeah, that's so, like you got a 25% chance of winning a new car.
Yeah, so pay attention, people. Pay attention. All right, so the Lakers are back in action tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. John, I for one, I wouldn't say. Would I say nervous? I would say I'm concerned.
I'm
concerned.
I'm excited. I think the Lakers are going to play great. I think they're going to make more shots. I think that Anthony Davis is going to play well. I think that I thought LeBron played great in game one, but Lindsay claims that he has there's a playoff LeBron. Lindsay and Joe Varden claim that there is a playoff LeBron we have yet to see. I think we may see him
tonight.
By the
way, here's what Joe Vardon said about it, because it's interesting. He says, emotionally and spiritually, the LeBron who was on this generic NBA court in an empty Disney arena was not the same emotionally and spiritually as the LeBron who steered one injured Cavs team to a six-game finals win with the Warriors in 2015, or got stripped down, Cleveland to the finals in 2018. He's saying emotionally and spiritually, LeBron has not arrived yet.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. When the Lakers started the playoffs back in the day, Kobe would turn into one syllable Kobe.
Correct.
He would just like, if you asked him, what do you expect tonight in game two? Kobe would say, would literally, like, they made him go talk, so he would say, victory. And that would be it. He wouldn't say anything else. So LeBron, because he's giving matter-of-fact answers like Kobe used to do all the time, is somehow not spiritually engaged in the game. I'm not buying it.
That was, by the way, you're conflating two things. So it was Jay Williams who said, from the morning show, Jay Williams said, I want LeBron as a lion, and I don't want him answering questions in a, well, it's just another game, and we'll
right.
get better next
time. I don't get that.
But Joe Vardon's saying something different. He's saying there's a different LeBron that we have not seen yet. There's playoff LeBron.
Joe's talking about, and he's right. And as soon as you guys see it, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'm
text
hoping...
me the moment you see it, since you've got this ability to identify exactly when LeBron is emotionally and spiritually locked in.
Okay.
Michael just tweeted me, victory is a three-syllable word. Thank you, Michael. So I meant Kobe would say something like pain.
Pain.
It just seems to me like, what does Kawhi Leonard do? Is he spiritually engaged in the playoffs?
No, he's more of a robot.
All right, so why are we holding LeBron to a different standard than Kawhi? Those are the two guys going for the elite three teams.
We're not saying it's not there. And by the way, this is the contention of people who have, like Joe, who's covered LeBron. That's been basically his job for years now, is to cover LeBron.
Right.
So he can see something different than I can see. I think LeBron can be better. I thought he was spectacular in the game. He filled up the box score,
right?
Obviously. But I don't know exactly what emotionally and spiritually connected LeBron is going to look like. I'm excited to see it. The truth is, what I really want to see is two things. I want to see Anthony Davis in attack mode, and I want to see the Lakers knock down shots. It is, as they say on the jump, it is a make or miss league. And the Lakers have been missing and missing and missing, 5 of 32 from
tonight's
three.
The night, Mace. Can't go 5 for 32 two nights in a row. The law of averages dictates that they will correct to the mean tonight.
Danny Green, KCP. Those are the two guys that need to come up big.
I will be describing multiple Danny Green threes and multiple KCP threes starting tonight at 6 o'clock.
Okay. There was another poll I put out, John. I'll give you a shot on this.
Okay.
Here's the poll. I say move Kuzma into the starting lineup and move AD to the five. Do you agree? What percentage do you say yes?
Everyone thinks they're a coach. I almost think this is 100%, but just how many respondents?
Almost 2,000, 1,985
responses.
Okay, so it
won't be 100%, but it'll be north of 85. I will say 87% yes.
You are right there. 82% say yes, move Kuzma into the starting lineup. Only 18% say no. That's right. We're all coaches this time of year,
yeah,
John.
I don't think Frank's going to do it. He doesn't get too high or get too low. But I do think he will tweak the lineup tonight. If the Lakers have this weird habit of falling way behind early. It happened in game one.
Yeah, they
fell
were terrible
16
at the start
in the
of that
first
game.
Quarter. They've done that a lot this year. If that happens tonight, I don't think he'll hesitate to try and give somebody else a chance. I think you may see Deion Waiters and JR. So I don't know this. I'm just guessing. But I think you might see those guys if the Lakers continue to miss shots, but I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to make them tonight.
And what to expect from Rondo tonight? I mean, you know, we've also we've heard of playoff LeBron. There's also playoff Rondo. In his playoff career, he's averaged 14 points a game, 6 rebounds, and 9 assists. I mean, he's been playing at this leverage, has been at this altitude before, and has been really successful. What do you expect from him tonight?
Do you know for a fact that he's going to play? They upgraded him from doubtful to questionable, which is a good sign, but I've yet to
doubtful
read.
Or questionable, or did they appeal him to, did they raise it to likely?
I didn't see the likely, but I'm looking it up. Because
they could use another guard.
Oh, yeah, you think?
Actually, here's this Vogel talking about it.
Rondo's working really hard to get back, and we'll have him back when he's ready, not before. We were going to list him as questionable, which by definition means 50-50. So we'll see how he responds to today's work.
I don't think that has changed.
Yeah.
I think that that's so – I don't know if you'll see him, but, you know, maybe for Game 3. Game 3 is on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they need perimeter help, even Rondo. Who have not? I mean, I've never seen playoff. I can't say that I've never seen. I have seen playoff Rondo up close. I've seen him twice in the finals.
Yeah.
So I know how good he can be. Let's see how he can be in this situation.
And he's
in
also
this
had
series
success against.
Run.
Yeah, he's also had success against Lillard and McCollum, which is why you think he might potentially be valuable here.
All right, coming up next for you. Anthony Slater from The Athletic is going to join us. He wrote a great piece earlier this week, John.
And it focused on how dominant Anthony Davis was in 2018, the last time he was in a playoff series against Portland. We'll get into it with Anthony next.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland, what is going on? We are your pregame show leading up to the pregame show. Is that right?
Correct.
We're the pre-pregame show. We're on till 4 o'clock today, and then we will turn it over to Michael Thompson and Alan Sliwa as we get ready for game two of the first round playoff series between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Portland Trail Blazers. Blazers lead the series 1-0 as of this moment.
And you know, Mace, tonight our game is on after the draft lottery. Remember, for many years, the draft lottery was a big deal for the Lakers because they were always in it. The team that has the best chance to get the top pick tonight, you know who it is?
Cleveland?
It's the Warriors.
Oh, that's right, the Warriors.
Remember,
oh, God, can you imagine?
One bad year. And they actually have a 14% chance to get the number one pick.
Wow.
And so they you know, I don't think it'll be number one, but a lot of people think a top three pick in the draft will be LaMelo Ball, Lonzo's younger brother. So you know that there's a couple of things to keep an eye on tonight for the draft lottery. My guess is if the Warriors get that pick, they might even look into trading it.
Yeah.
You know, because they already have Steph and Clay and Draymond and all those other people.
God, can you imagine?
You know, and another reason why I think, and we're trying to track down Anthony Slater if we can find, we've got Anthony. Anthony, for people who don't know, now covers the Lakers for The Athletic, but leading up until now, he covered the Warriors through that incredible run for The Athletic. And Anthony, thank you for doing this. How are you holding up down there?
I'm good. I got to cover a lottery and a game too tonight. So
right.
I'm excited.
So you, by the way, wrote the best preview for Lakers Blazers that I read anywhere. And I would encourage people to go back and find it. He wrote it right before game one. It is a deep dive into exactly what the Lakers have over the Blazers and what the Blazers have over the Lakers. So with that in mind, Anthony, I know you kind of studied up both teams pretty seriously. What surprised you about game one?
I didn't really like Davis's he kind of played more of a finesse game. And he had Wenyen Gabriel on him, which was kind of the surprise, right?
Right.
This young guy instead of Collins, and I thought defended him pretty well, forced Davis into some early tough shots. But, you know, he's kind of been settling for the mid-ranger a little bit too much. I think in the seeding games I saw the number 3 of 25 on mid-rangers. It hasn't been there for him. He did get to the line, but I kind of want to see him really force the issue to the rim a bit more than this settling for a jumper that's really not there right now. He's not shooting it very well. The entire team isn't. We know their three-point issues. It can't be that, you know, if it's going to be as bad as it was the other night, then he'll be exiting these playoffs quickly. I don't think it'll be that bad. But I just want to see more playoff-level Davis going to the rim and then really kind of playoff-level LeBron, right? I think that'll be the test tonight. He hasn't taken it to fifth gear really as a scorer in the bubble, but they're down 1-0 now. This is the type of night you expect LeBron to come out and not just say, hey, I'm going to get 15 assists and kind of facilitate. Like, go score 35. Go win this game.
Ireland, did you hear that? He says he doesn't have it in fifth gear yet.
Well, Anthony, we've been arguing about that. Now, are you talking about LeBron or AD not having it in fifth
gear? Both, really.
Yeah.
But LeBron's the one we know the fifth gear is there. I have more of a trust level that he will get there, although, you know, like the age thing at some point in his life will become
right. But Anthony, you say that even though he put up monster numbers in game one. I mean, he can't fill up a stat sheet much better than that, can you?
I'm talking pure scoring. I don't think he's gone over 30 in the bubble. He has Carmelo Anthony guarding him. He has Gary Trent is probably the best option, and that's a very undersized Gary Trent against him. And Portland might have the worst wing defenders in the league. And I know he had big assist numbers the other night. I think he needs to have big scoring numbers. And I do understand the defensive philosophy against Davis and LeBron is going to be to overload, let the guys who are missing all the threes keep missing threes. But I bet if you watch tonight, I bet LeBron goes over 30, and I think you just see him more aggressive to score LeBron.
As you look at this series, the one thing that is a little bit scary is Dame Lillard had a very, very good game in game one, but he didn't have one of those 40-ish, 50-ish point games, the sort of complete total takeover games. That's the one thing that I worry about for tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he kind of got off a little bit late. He had that one bomb he had from near half court, like just curling off a screen.
Crazy.
Was big. It was, yeah. I'm curious about their, exhaustion level. I mean, that was kind of the talk coming in. Obviously, they won game one, so that hasn't been a chatter the last 2 days. But, I mean, these guys have really had to push it to get into the playoffs. And Lillard, I can remember covering the Warriors last year, and they had a seven-game – Portland had a really long seven-game war against Denver coming into the West Finals. By the time they got to the West Finals, you know, Lillard was kind of dragging. And if you look at his numbers, he was bad against the Warriors. They got swept. I'm just curious if, as he feels some of this exhaustion, if, you know, maybe the numbers go down a little bit. Maybe we saw that somewhat in game one. But you're right. I mean, you know, just like LeBron or AD can go off and score 45 and win a game, Lillard can also do the same thing on the other side.
We're talking to Anthony Slater from The Athletic. Anthony, Frank Vogel's got to make a decision tonight. If they continue to miss threes, in particular, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Danny Green, he always could go to guys like Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, who are unproven in Laker uniforms, but the reason you went out and got him is they might be able to make shots. How close are we to seeing that, in your opinion?
I don't think we're close on JR. I think JR was like something like 0-8, 0-10 during the seeding games, at least at one point from three. He, to me, looks a little bit washed up, which, you know, it's fine. He looked a little bit like that by the end of his Cavaliers tenure. I just don't know if that JR Smith from way back in the LeBron Cavaliers days exists anymore. Waiters, I'm a bit surprised we saw so little of him the other night. I think, 1 minute late in the second quarter. I bet he gets a little bit more of a test drive tonight. He showed in the seeding games, like, he has some flaws. He can turn it over. He can, you know, take some questionable shots at times, but he will provide an offensive boost. You know, I'd say 60 to 70% of the nights that you put him out there. I'd like to see him
especially, like you said, early on, if Pope and Danny Green look the same as the other night. But, you know, Rondo's another name, too. He's not going to be, he's not really going to help them three-wise, but I'm curious if they try to plug him in and see if that just maybe just juices the spirit of the team up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What impact do you think Rondo? Because there's playoff Rondo too. There's apparently there's playoff LeBron. There's playoff Rondo. We're waiting for everybody to shift in and gear. What impact can Rondo have on this series?
I don't think that much. I mean, maybe as like a defensive pest a little bit on Lillard. Although you know Rondo is not near the defender he used to be. But you know, just kind of guiding the second unit a bit more when LeBron's off the floor, and then. You know, the word I use is just kind of the spirit of the team, right? It's just they seem a little down with how they're playing. I mean, like, bad offensive nights really seem to get to you, and it almost feels like they're carrying it over night to night. And not that Rondo is the offensive answer, but it's just a different look out there, a different guy running the sets, and maybe that'll just add a freshness that they kind of need for maybe 12 minutes or so.
We're talking to Anthony Slater from The Athletic. Anthony, let me pivot back to your old job. The draft lottery is tonight. Lakers and Warriors are expected to battle atop the Pacific Division for the next few years. If the Warriors, and they've got a pretty high percentage chance, if the Warriors get the top pick, what do you think they do with it? Do they take a young guy? Do they trade it for a proven guy to go with Stephen Clay and Draymond? Or if their number comes up on the wheel tonight, what do they do with that pick?
Yeah, there are a lot of options, and, you know, I've been advocating that they should use the pick because you get it's very rare mid-contender window that you suddenly have 1 year off and have a chance to get the number one overall pick. To me, this is the time to try to get the next Steph Curry, the guy that Steph Curry is going to deliver the franchise keys to in 2025, let's say. So I've been saying, you know, they have a $17.2 million trade exception, and they have, you know, mid-level exception. Go try to help the rotation with veterans using those. Don't trade this pick. Now, my opinion changes if you tell me Giannis is available, Bradley Beal is available. But there has been some arguments of like, yeah, trade the number one overall pick and go get Marcus Smart into the trade exception using that pick. I don't think that's a smart decision. I don't think they should go get a sixth man, a fifth man to help maybe win a title the next 2 years. I think it's better for them to go try to get their next star in the next decade. Now, is he out there? I don't know. I'm a fan of Wiseman as a fit for them because I think he could help next year, and I think if you hit big on him, he's an all-star center, you know, 5 years from now. But a lot of options will come available if they get the number one pick. I know that.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, we appreciate you coming on very much, man. Enjoy the insight, and have a good night and safe times in the bubble there. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fella. Thanks for having me.
All right, there's Anthony Slater from The Athletic, who has wrote a great piece. We should tweet out, John, a great piece about Anthony Davis earlier this week. John, what's the funniest show on TV?
Curb.
Yes, Curb.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And I just put out a best of Culture Pop podcast with Susie Essman. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it before.
I love her. I will listen to it.
She goes into there's a good clip I just sent out. She goes into Larry and his direction to her on how to put Jeff in his place. And at one point, Larry says, "Make fun of Jeff being fat." And every time Susie thought she had said enough, Larry would say, "Bring it up a little bit more. Use a few more expletives."
And then she just started calling him a fat F word all the
time. Exactly. So if you want to hear that really good podcast, go to stevemason.com, and it's right at the top of the list, and feel free to subscribe. All right, coming up next for you, it is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff for us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Radio Tinder time. By the way, I got a feeling that in the next 10 minutes, we're going to say something that is going to be on the quiz on Friday that could win you a Mazda CX-30 from OC Mazda. So make sure you pay attention to everything that Lindsay and us say during Radio Tinder. Lindsay, what do you got?
Everything.
Everything.
Starting with, U.S. authorities have approved a plan to release more than 750 million genetically modified mosquitoes across the Florida Keys, despite objections from local residents. The altered mosquitoes will be tested to see if they can work as an alternative to pesticides to help control the spread of diseases like Zika, yellow fever, and others, according to CNN. The male mosquito has been created to produce female offspring that die at larval stage before they grow big enough to spread disease and bite. If this trial were proposed in the city you live in, would you be open to the idea of releasing millions of mosquitoes to potentially help control the spread of disease? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, I mean, I guess you kind of got to swipe right if they think it's the right thing. I mean, I hate mosquitoes. One of the great things about leaving Ohio, and, you know, I lived right, Lindsay, as you know, Ohio, you get a ton of mosquitoes. And especially I had a house on Lake Erie, and just nonstop mosquitoes. They're the most annoying thing in the world. But I guess if they're good and they're killing off diseases, then okay, I'll go along with it.
Swipe left, hard left. Anytime you mess with the natural order of things and try and move a million. Did you say a million, Lindsay?
750 million.
Wow. 750 million, yeah. Mosquitoes. You don't be messing with 750 million mosquitoes. This sounds like the plot of a Hitchcock movie. I'm out. I don't want anything to do. George, how about you?
Swipe left, man.
Yeah,
I'm for killing disease and public safety.
No, this ain't going to work. This is a harebrained scheme that's just going to get everybody bit. To quote Mike Tyson when speaking about Shark Week, somebody's going to get bit.
Yep.
You know, I actually recently listened to a Radiolab podcast where they said that if you eliminated mosquitoes, it would do... Like, if you completely eradicated them, it would actually do way more bad than good, because the male mosquitoes don't even bite. It's just the female mosquitoes. So that's something that you guys should probably keep in mind. Stay away
okay,
from the females.
Okay, I intend to dwell on that a little bit, yeah.
Okay, all right. Next one, a university in Germany is offering idleness grants to Germans willing to abstain from activity as part of research for an exhibition on sustainability. So three people are going to receive this grant for doing nothing, and they're going to be paid about $2,000 to engage in a specific form of active inactivity. Applicants are free to choose their own form of idleness and activity to abstain from, and then a panel of school officials will choose the three best pitches. One of the quotes from one of the panel members said, "We want to focus on active inactivity. If you say you're not going to move for a week, that's impressive. If you propose you're not going to move or think, that might be even better. If you say you're not going to sleep, you can only do that for a couple of days. But if you say you're not going to shop, that's something you could sustain for a lot longer. Can you think of an activity you would choose not to do that would make you a good candidate for this study? Swipe left or swipe right?"
Well, Mace, you could go off weed for a week. That would be valuable information.
That would be valuable information.
If you quit weed and donuts for a week but did everything else you normally do, you would lose weight.
Yeah, I know. That's the truth. Donuts.
But those are active things, though.
Active things that we could give up to be inactive. Is that what you're
exactly
saying?
Yes,
They're studying human behavior. I could give up sleep for longer than most people.
Oh, no, I can't give up sleep. I sleep 12 hours a night.
Yeah, I sleep 4
I need
hours
12 hours a night. Sleep is so underrated, I love it.
But I can't think of anything I could give up some, any type of, I'm not married to any food or drink. I could give up, anything if you wanted
red wine? Would you give up red wine?
Of course, yeah.
Would you give up golf?
No, let's not be ridiculous here. Come on.
See, now that might get you somewhere in the study.
Yeah, no, I'm not giving up golf. Forget that. Although my friend Glenn, I played today with a guy that had to move his son into college last week.
Yeah.
And so he took a week off, and he played out of his mind. He played great. So maybe I do need to take a week off, and then I'll be better. I would go into depression if the Lakers got knocked out early. So, we may find out.
That would be brutal.
Yeah, we may find out.
Jorge, what about you? Is there an activity you could be inactive from?
Sleep or drinking. Like, I drink at least one or two beers a day. I'm not going to lie.
You drink? Do you drink them, like, before the show or
no,
after
no,
the
no,
show?
No, after. When I get home, after the show. Relax, I
was
going
to say,
because
a lot
beers.
Of people, we've had people who drink before the show because it's hard to get through this three-hour stretch.
Nah, but this is fun. This is fun.
I think Funch may have been one of those guys. I'm glad you're getting through it. So you could give up drinking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And you could give up sleeping.
Oh, yeah, why not?
Yeah, sleep is great, man. Sleep is great.
Lynch? Sleep is amazing, and it's definitely essential. All right, next one. A man whose parking space was stolen by a neighbor came up with an incredible way to teach him a lesson. Toby Bailey had grown tired of people parking outside his
Toby
house.
Toby Bailey, former UCLA basketball star Toby Bailey?
I think it's different because he's from the UK, but unless he's moved to the UK
different.
Since then.
Yeah.
So he was tired of people parking outside his house in front of his homemade no parking sign. So when a blue Corsa blocked his driveway, he went to extreme measures to get his point across. At first, he just wrote a note, put it on the windshield. But then when it was still there a day and a half later, he wrapped the entire car in black cellophane. Have you ever done anything to exact revenge on a neighbor? Swipe left or swipe right?
Huh.
Exact revenge on a neighbor.
I don't think I have. What have you
if
done?
If you want to hear my story.
Yeah, what
sure.
have you done?
So my next door neighbor's dad, who my next door neighbor growing up, she's my best friend still to this day. And her dad and I didn't really get along. I don't know. She went to private school. I went to public school. I don't think he liked me very much. And she had one of those big giant trampolines. And he would always kick us off of it at 8 o'clock every night. Every night. So one night, he was just being a complete jerk about it. So I decided that I was going to be a little jerk and take a big tube of raw cookie dough and put it under his tire of his car. So when he backed out of the driveway, he got a big, huge wad of cookie dough stuck in his tire. I have no idea what possessed me to do it, but he was ticked.
He was mad at me for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. He was.
How do you get it out?
Me.
Do you just have to go to a car wash? Is that the only way to get it out?
I think so. Because you'd have to like scrape it out maybe with.
Boy, that is really vindictive of you.
Yeah, I know.
I have never exacted revenge on a neighbor. I've never felt the need to exact. I mean, I keep to myself. I'm not like, Ireland, like you have a different kind of neighborhood. You've got the gated community. And
right.
You have
everybody on my street, like I live on the greatest street in America. We all borrow stuff from each other.
Right. And you've got a street fair that happens once a year, right? A big family.
Yeah,
We got nothing like that. I keep to myself. I've no need to exact revenge on a neighbor.
Jorge, what about you? Ever have any issues with neighbors?
Oh, yeah. I have a 2-year-old. I told Michael Thompson about this a while back. They have a Rottweiler next door. That dog hopped over our wall, and then I straight up called the dog pound or whatever. I was like, hey, you guys got to pick up this dog. I have a 2-year-old. And then my neighbor was like, hey, man, that's going to cost me like $400 to get him out, this and this. I'm like, look, man, I have a 2-year-old. I can't take the risk. Sorry. Pay for it.
Yeah, see, I would argue that's
not sure. I'm not
that's
sure
not
that
even
you
vindictive.
Reacted inappropriately there, yeah.
I think that's what I would do.
Reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a reasonable position.
Well, for the record.
Yeah, but she was mad. So, eh.
Yeah, the money thing would hurt a little. But for the record, my neighbor and I, we're friends now, so it's okay.
Oh, that's good.
All right, last one really quick here. The zoo featured in Netflix Tiger King has closed permanently. Former owner Jeff Lowe announced this week. Lowe's since-deleted Facebook post said that the series had provided the park with an unfathomable source of income, and the park would continue as a private film set for Tiger King-related content. Does the world even want any more Tiger King content? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe. Which one gets me no more content, left or right?
Left.
I think left.
Oh, God, I'm so done with that show. That show is the most overrated show in the history of television. I'll never get those 7 hours back. Come on.
Of course, I am a huge Joe Exotic fan. I worry about him being all locked up in prison the way that he is. He deserves the superstardom that has come his way.
What is wrong with you?
Carol Baskin must be brought to justice. She fed her husband to lions. Tell me, John, which one of your stupid reality shows with all the women yelling at each other and pulling weaves off and all that stuff that goes on those reality shows, Tell me how they are different from the crazy rednecks on Tiger King.
Because you get a payoff. Like the other day on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, it came out that Denise Richards slept with Brandy Glanville. They had a torrid affair. Now, Denise Richards is denying it, but no one believes her. So those are the types of nuggets you get if you dive deep into the housewives.
We've got prison. We've got a husband being fed to lions. We've got everything on our show, John.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tell me this, by the way. Will you watch the Tiger King movies when they're done?
There's more than one?
Oh, yeah, there's two of them. One of them is Kate McKinnon. She's going to play Carol Baskin.
I'd watch Kate McKinnon do anything.
She's the producer and playing Carol Baskin. But there's another one going on right now. I think FX is doing one on Tiger King. See, I'll watch both of them.
Sadly, I probably will.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Kate McKinnon.
Can't look away.
Kate McKinnon reads the phone book. I will, if
I'm
they
with
still
you.
Have phone books.
Yeah, she's the best.
Do whatever she wants. All right, Lindsay, thank you very, very much. Nice work today. Jorge, how'd you think she did?
Good, good. This whole week's been good, actually.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's Jorge's first
She complains, week. Man. She complains about the
she
buzzer
does,
and this
she
and this.
She does complain
but
a lot.
You know, it's cool, you know?
Yeah, Lindsay.
Well, today, Lindsay has to take me on in trivia, and she's scared of me. She's scared of me in Game of Games, so I'm coming for her today.
That's what I complain about, because I'm really scared of you. John
you
Ireland, you're the kryptonite.
There it is. So we'll see what happens. Mason, is today's game hard or easy?
Today's game is easy. It's a simple one.
It gives her a better chance.
It's a simple fact or fiction with no Spanish.
Oh, well, that George, you're in trouble.
Oh, man.
I should do one question in Spanish every day just for
right?
George.
And then I get it wrong.
then you'll miss it. Exactly. All right, coming up next, we'll circle back to the big story of the day, which is the Lakers back on the floor tonight against the Portland Trailblazers in Orlando. Lakers trail that series 1-0, and we are waiting to see playoff LeBron. We're waiting to see playoff AD. We haven't seen them yet. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.